Okay. We are looking at indexes, and we went through, I think, most of the top one. Okay. What we're actually looking at, I guess, is constraints, as I said. And constraints can be a check for accurate data. It can be a foreign key, a primary key, a not null, and a unique. Okay, so I can put all of those constraints on. The check, not null, and unique are mainly to check for data and make sure that I get valid data. The primary key and foreign key are more for linking purposes, okay? And then you have indexes, and indexes are the kind of thing that sets up something behind the scenes so you can access things more quickly, okay? And we looked at those kinds of things. So again, coming down here, the constraint, just looking at this one again, the constraint here is I'm setting up a primary key, and I'm giving it a name, and I'm telling it that that's the primary key. And that means that it has to be unique, and it has to be there. Okay, so as soon as I say it's a primary key, it has to be unique, and it has to be there. And then I went through and tried to put things into the table that didn't work. Okay. And then we talked about a foreign key. And a foreign key is a field on a table that links into a primary key on another table. Okay, so that's my link, is to a primary key on the other table. And, okay, I set the not null, but in setting the not null, I have to be sure that I am going to have data, so there's no records. I'm setting the not null is before I set the records. And then these are how I can create an index. And I think that's where we left off last time. Okay, so I have a field and I'm creating an index. So here I said create an index called ID number index, and it's going to be on the ID number, okay? So I'm creating an index on the ID number. Then I created another index on two fields. So last name, comma, first name. Means I'm indexing on the combination of last name and first name. Okay, so I'm indexing on the combination of them. Not just on a field, but on multiple fields. So if I have a bunch of Smiths, it's going to index on Smith Ann before it's Smith John. And it's going to index on the last name, comma, the first name. Okay. And then I can index on salary. So I did a bunch of different indexes, and then I dropped one. So that's how you can drop an index. So I can make an index. The index can be on one field, or it can be on multiple fields. It can be on ascending or descending. This time I put in descending. The others are ascending by default. Okay, so I can set up indexes. I then dropped the ID number and turned it into a primary key. So I went into the table and said alter the table and add a primary key. Okay, the field's already there. I'm not adding the field. What I'm doing is turning it into a primary key. So at first I had it as an index, then I dropped it as an index and said, no, I'm going to make it into a primary key. And so I added the primary key.
On this one, I didn't give it a name when I added it. I just made it a primary key. If I want to give it a name, I do the constraint and give it a name and then say primary key. Okay? And then I altered the table, another table, and added a foreign key that references pane 1. Okay? And it came back and told me this K1 doesn't exist, so it can't set up the foreign key to do that because pane 1 doesn't exist. So then I went in and made pane 1. Okay? So I went in at that point and made pane 1, and then I put in a primary key on pane 1 because I had to, not only if I want to make a foreign key, it has to link to a primary key. So making pane 1 wasn't sufficient. I had to go in and add the primary key based on the pay code. So once I added the primary key based on the pay code, then I could go in and make the foreign key. Okay, and have the foreign key linked to the pane 1 table that I just created. Yeah.
So they don't have the same name. Does that matter?
No.
So it just reference the whole table, or?
It references to the whatever the primary key is.
Oh, right, because there could only be one primary key per table.
So yeah, it references to whatever the primary key was.
If you put the reference as the primary key instead of the table, or whatever, what would they get that?
I think you have to tell it the table because it's got to be able to find that table.
And then it's automatically find
right.
The primary key.
And then the primary key is what goes with that table. But you gotta be, it's gotta know what table it's looking for, because you can have a gazillion tables out there. So it's got to know what table it's looking for. Okay. Why did I do that? The next one is one where I've got multiple tables going on, and I'm going to put some keys in. So the first table that I have is the inventory table. And the inventory table is going to have the item number as the primary key. Okay, and the last one we looked at, remember I said you could add a constraint to give it a name when you did the ALGA? This one I did that. The previous one I didn't. If I don't do it, then Oracle makes up a key for you that is worthless as far as I'm concerned, because it doesn't give you a name that you could possibly understand that this goes with this. I mean, you'll see it if you do a list of table constraints, but it's not going to help you. So here I created a table. I said the item number is going to be the primary key. So I altered the table inventory and I added the primary key. Okay? And so it is now got a primary key based on item number, and if I now do a DESC below, you can see that it says not null there, which not null could also be that it's just not null because I set up a not null constraint. But more often than not, I use it to tell me that that's the primary key. I think I took a picture of that, but I'll take one again. Oh, and I just suddenly remembered that I should tell you this. Thursday, we're not having a class. Thursday is one of the get caught up days that I do every semester. I usually do one or two of those. So Thursday from 9:30 to 2, this will just be an open lab for questions and that sort of thing. So there's not going to be any class, but I would strongly suggest you come and get caught up. If you're all caught up, then take a day off. But if you're not caught up, I strongly suggest you come and stay as long as you can and get caught up. Because we're at mid-semester, folks. Okay, so that was my inventory table. Now I'm going to the department table. Okay, so I've got a department table that has the department number. And I'm altering the table department and I'm adding the constraint for primary key. Okay? So, department is going to be my primary key. So I now have two tables. I have an inventory table, and the inventory table has on it, somewhere down here, it has on it a department. And then I have a department table, and I've now made department the primary key. So that means I can now establish a foreign key into that. Okay, from the
keys on one table?
No, I can establish a foreign key. No, you can only have one primary key. The primary key can be made up of multiple fields, and we'll see that as we're going along. But you can only have one primary key.
Yeah, could you have a foreign key like same table? So if you meet on me.
Yeah, the inventory, somebody scroll back and tell me what the primary key is. Item number, I think.
Item NO.
That's my primary key there. Okay, but I have a field called department.
On inventories, it would be a foreign key.
That's right. And so I can make this a foreign key that links into there because that's the primary key. Okay? And that's what I did on the line below. Okay, so this has add constraint, department inventory, foreign key. Foreign key of department references the department table. Okay, this is the department table. I probably should have spelled that out. Okay, so that's the department table, and I've now made a foreign key where I'm altering the table invent. So it's invent that I'm altering. And I'm saying on that, make a foreign key on the department that will reference the table called department. And when it references that table, it goes to the primary key. So I've now got a foreign key on here that is going in. And I can't spell department when I try to take the T out or whatever it is. Department. That's not right. Okay. So, I'm referencing, I'm taking the department field on InVen and saying I'm going to turn that into a foreign key. Goes into the top. Okay. And then just to prove it, I said, show me, and it showed me that I had a foreign key at the top of the key. Okay. Okay, so then I went and inserted a record and it was a violation because I was putting in the parent key was not found. Okay. So I was putting in a department that was not linked, that was not on the department table. Okay, so once I've established a foreign key, I can't have departments in here that are not valid departments. Because they have to be able to link.
So you'd have to update the department
yes.
table first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you get into a lot of that you have to update and you have to get the order that you update. So if you're adding new things, if I want to add a new department, I've got to add it to the department table before I can add something that goes into that department. Okay. So now I have my inventory customer table. Okay, and so my inventory customer table is going to have a primary key of customer ID. Okay, so now I've got three tables going on, and I've made that the primary key. And then I set up a table called sales rep, and I made that primary key sales rep. Okay, I did something there that I'm not actually fond of doing, but I left it. And that is calling the table the same name as a field. Okay, it ends up confusing me if nobody else. So I'm not fond of calling the the field the same thing that I call the table.
Quick question.
Yep.
The not null is automatic because it's private.
That's right.
You don't have to do
nothing automatically. No, as soon as I make the primary key, it adds that not null. But as I said, not null could also come from setting the null constraint. Okay, so you can't be 100% sure, but it pretty much will tell you. Okay, so now I've got this sales rep. If I go back and look at the inventory customer, notice that I have it, and I need to make that smaller so that it shows. This was the mistake that I made, and as I said, I just left it because I decided it was a good thing to look at. This one I called sales rep over here. When I came down here, I called it sales rep, and I added an A in. Okay, so I basically gave it the same name that I'd given the table. Okay, it works fine because I've set the primary key and it works fine. And let me go back. And it works fine when I set up the foreign key. Okay, so I went in and still works. I just don't like doing it because I like having things the same name so that I know what I'm doing. But it says alter the inventory customer, add a constraint, the foreign key sales rep references into this table. And it references what the primary key is, so it references sales rep. Okay? So this means that it is referencing that sales rep. Okay, and the fact that they're not spelled the same doesn't bother me. It's not what I would do if I was being careful, but it shows you that SLS rep can reference into SALS rep just fine.
Right, but when you reference it, it's taking the data from the sales rep table anyway, right?
I'm not sure why I'm saying
that. Well, maybe when you reference something, it's taking the data from another
table. Right. Well, it's going to the sales rep table. This is the table name. Now, I also happen to call the field by that name. But what it is looking for here is the table name. So it went into the table name and looked at that table and took the field that was the primary key, which happened to have the same name as the table. But still, what I'm talking about here is the table. And then it's going up and taking the primary key, which is sales rep 2. Okay.
My question being is, if you had more fields on, well, more data in the sales rep table, which is the primary key, and then the sales rep that's the foreign key and the other one, would that? So if you didn't update the sales rep table, that's it, for the inventory customer?
I'm completely lost.
Yeah.
Just in case you wanted to try again, but I'm completely lost.
I'm just a little confused on the reference.
Apparently. Okay,
so
go ahead.
If you're going into references, and you reference it, you have more lines in your sales rep table, that was in the SLS rep up top. Is that gonna,
That's not a problem.
But which data would it give you a password? Does it depend on which table you ask for the password? So what I'm saying, if I didn't update the SLS rep to match what's in the other one, and then I'm going to get info from it.
Okay, I think I followed.
Yeah.
If I have a sales rep 111 and another one 112 and 113 and so forth,
yep.
Then I can have those numbers up here.
But say I forget.
But if I want to add 114, I got to add it here on the sales rep table before I can use it up here on the inventory customer table.
Well, that's what I mean. But like if I do it on the sales rep table, I forget to update the other table.
That's fine. I can have extras on here that I maybe just haven't used yet.
Yeah, but if you reference it, will it give you the data from that? That's what I'm asking. Like, so if I forget to put it in the other table.
Well, I can't reference it in the other table. If the other table doesn't have a 114, then I will never reference the 114 here. It will just sit there.
All right.
Okay. But then if I go in and add a customer and give them the 114, then it will reference down here just fine. Okay. So what you've got there is the sales rep on this is the foreign key that is going down to this table and picking out this primary key. Okay. So it is going out and matching to that primary key. So when I say add the constraint sales rep, that's on the customer one, whatever I call the customer table. And it's referencing in to the sales rep table and referencing into whatever I call the primary key. If I call that apples, it would reference apples, you know. It doesn't care what I name things, I care what I name things, to try to keep track of the fact that in fact this and this are talking about the same thing. SLS rep is talking about the same thing as SALS rep. And I just find it easier if I give them the same name to remember that they are the same thing. Yeah.
If you had some fields in sales rep, the field sales rep and the table sales rep.
Yeah.
That also occurred.
And now you understand why I shouldn't do this kind of thing. Okay, but go ahead.
I'm trying not to get that backwards in my head. And then you happen to have the same data, say it was company or something, you know, the sales rep works on the third party. Then say company was also in the inventory customer file. There's nothing that would keep those synchronized, right? But it'd be bad design because you have
the same field. No, it's not going to keep them synchronized.
Yeah, no. It's just a bad design if you happen to.
But I have to, if I set that other as, you know, you could have two foreign keys that reference into the same table, but it doesn't usually have, well, no, you can't, because it could. Have to give the name of the primary key and then represent. No, that doesn't make any sense. I was trying to think of how you could do that, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so even though it's primary keys and foreign keys going back and forth, there's really no check on the data.
Well, there's check on the, in the sense that you cannot add a customer that doesn't have a sales rep, that is a valid sales rep. So it's doing the check on that. But that's the only check that it's doing. Yeah.
So the foreign keys basically just like limit the possible entry.
Well, they don't limit it. Yeah, they limit the use in the customer table, but you can immediately go to the sales rep table and add a new one.
Right.
And then, you know, so it limits the order that you have to do it. If I'm going to. And it makes sense, really. If I'm going to have a new sales rep, I got to put them in the sales rep table before I can use them.
Right. I mean, in terms of like a clerk, like if I was sitting down and just kind of taking someone's information as they were like purchasing whatever, if I tried putting in that sales rep, the computer would say to me like, that sales rep doesn't exist, and then
yeah, it'll give you an invalid. And then I have to go and add the DIN. Yeah, so once you've established a foreign key, you've established a link between the table, and once you've established the link between the table, there's rules about the fact that that link has to be a valid link.
Right.
Yes, no, maybe? Okay, so then I come down here, and the next one I'm looking at is the orders table. And, okay, I want to establish an order. And essentially, I've got to break that up into two tables. I am having the orders table, which is more the, if you look at an order, you know, there's usually a thing up at the top that gives the name and address and the order number and the date and that sort of thing. And then there's a thing at the bottom where you list every item that you're ordering. The problem is that if I try to put that on one table, I've got the repeating group problem. Because how many slots do I set up for orders, and what do I do if somebody wants to order more? And I've already told you my story about that. So I've set up an orders table and an order line table. Okay, so I am got a table for my orders, and my order table is going to have on it the order number, the customer who ordered it, and the date of the order. Okay. So the order number is going to be the primary key. So when I set it up, I went in, and after I set up the orders table, I obviously, the first handout that we looked at, I can set up my primary key when I create the table. But if I don't, then I go in and I alter the table and add the primary key. So I'm adding the primary key, which is order number. Okay, so I've now got order number. And then I went down and said, okay, now I'm going to have the order line. Okay, so I've got my order line table. And somewhere I must be telling you what is in the order line table. Ah, come on. Am I ever telling you what's in the order line table? I never noticed that. Apparently I didn't. Sorry about that. So there's orders, and I told you what was in that. Okay. So my, there it is. There's my description of order line. Okay. So order line has the order number, the item number, and the number ordered. Okay, so I did have it. I am going to make the order line the primary key, and this is a primary key made up of two things. Okay? I can't have the order number the primary key because I'm going to have many items associated with the order. I can't make the item number the primary key because hopefully I'm selling that item to more than one customer. Okay? So I've got order number, item number, and they are made, order number, comma, item number is now the primary key. So it's a combination, and notice I get the not null on both of them. Okay, since I am putting in that combination, it made that not null on both of them. Okay, and then I took the order number. Okay, so I took the order number and I said alter table order line, add a foreign key of the order number references the orders. So this is the primary key, but it's also a foreign key. The combination is the primary key, but that one is also a foreign key that references into the orders table. Okay? So I said, alter the table order line, add the constraint order number foreign key, which is the foreign key is order number, and it references the orders table. So I'm establishing a link between the order number here and the orders table up above, and that is giving me the foreign key. Then I can also establish a foreign key for the item number into the inventory table. So I can have both of those, but I can have a foreign key of the item number that goes into the inventory table. So I've got a foreign key of the order number that goes into the orders table, and I've got a foreign key of the item number that goes into the inventory table. So I'm linking those all together. And you can see both of them down below. And then, I'm trying to see if I've got another table. No, I think that's it. I think those are the tables that I put in. So if I come back over here and look at those tables, I have an inventory table. I have a customer table, and I don't remember what I called that. So I'll call it customer for now. So I have an inventory table, and I have a customer table. I have a sales rep table. I have an orders table. I have an order line table. And I think I have a department table as well. And I may not get these names right, but essentially I had a customer number or something like that that was the primary key here. I have a department number, or I think I just called it department, which is the primary key data. I have an item number, which is the primary key here, and somewhere on this table I have a department that links down to that. Okay? Sales rep, I have somewhere on here the sales rep. And that links up to that one. I have the order number here that also has the customer number. And the customer number links over to there. I have the order number here that also has the item number. And that links over to there. And have I lost any links? Okay, this is the primary key. This is a combination primary key. Okay, did I have any other links going on?
Yeah.
But pretty much I have set it up so that I can get to any piece of information I need to get to. Okay? I can use multiple tables and I can link in and I can get any piece of information that I need. Okay? Now, there's no link directly between inventory and customer, but there doesn't need to be one between inventory and customer because the activity that causes me to need to link there is the customer placing an order. And so when the customer places an order, then I get the order and the order line table, and those let me link into inventory to find out what I want. Yeah.
In the order line table, the order number is also performed here, right?
Yes. That's right, you're right. The order number is also the foreign key. It goes over to here. Item number I sort of got going over there. But the order number links back to the order. Okay. So that's basically the way the things link together.
Can one item be a primary key and a foreign key?
So one item.
Say, like item number could on the inventory table, could that be a primary key and a foreign key, or is that the combination in order to?
Well, if I had something I wanted to link to, but it would have to be a primary key in another table, and I don't think I'm going to have item number or primary key in another table. The one example that I can that I always use for having a primary key the same in two tables is I've talked about payroll, where you have one table that has information that is openly accessible and one table that has confidential information. And then, yeah, in a sense, the primary key is a foreign key into the other table's primary key and vice versa, so that you can link back and forth. Okay, what I am asking you to do is to play around with these. And if we go and look at the assignment, I want to talk about the tables. Okay. This is a one that is going to require multiple tables. And I gave it a simple version that was the customer ID number was going to be the primary key on a customer table. But that's not terribly realistic, but I'm doing a very simple one, and you can increase it if you want to. The problem with having the customer ID the main key is that a customer may own more than one address. And so the address really is, it should be in more of an address key and keep track of that. But I decided that a customer could only have one account with me because I was trying to keep it simple. So if you want to make it more complicated, you can. So I have here a customer table that I'm setting up with a customer ID, name, address, capacity of the tank they have, and a house type code. And the house type code would be something that gives me a clue as to how much oil they need, because if you have a 6-room house versus a 12-room house, obviously you're going to need more in the 12-room house. And there'd be all kinds of other things that would determine it. But that's one of the things. So you would have a customer table, and the customer table is going to be that information. And there's going to be a code there. You know, if it's a cake, a 6-room cake, you might call that a C6 or something like that, but you're going to have some some kind of code for it. For each house type, you carry the average summer, fall, winter, spring use. So you're going to have a house table. You're going to have the house type as the primary key. And then it's going to have an entry for spring, fall, summer, and winter, and so forth, so that you know the average use, which will then help you determine when you should do the deliveries. And they actually have far more complex algorithms than that, but that's a simple one. And then we have the delivery table, which gets into the delivery. So house type is the primary key. You're going to have a link to that from house type over on the other, and this becomes a foreign key down there. Okay, then the delivery table, what's going to be on that? What? The date. But you first got to know who it's been delivered to, right? So we'll put the customer ID in here. And again, as I said, address number would be a better key. Okay, so I've got the customer ID. I've got, what else did you say? The date. Okay, the date of the delivery. And then I've got the number of gallons delivered. Okay, so how many gallons? And the price per gallon, because this is a constantly fluctuating price. So in fact, you need to know the price on the day you delivered it, because the price on the day you send out the bill may not be the same price as the day you delivered it. Okay? You may have delivered it at whatever cost, but it's gone up a penny between the two. Okay, so what is going to be the key on this one?
Hand
date. Okay, customer ID wouldn't make it, because then I can only deliver once to the customer. Okay? So I am going to have a primary key that involves both the customer ID and the date. Okay, yeah.
Couldn't you do that for the first one with the address?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, customer ID and address.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that too. I was thinking of changing it so that instead of customer ID, you had an address ID or something like that. Yeah.
So for each entry, so if someone did own two buildings, they would have two different, like it would be the same customer ID number, but there would be two different
addresses. But then you get into another table, which is why I didn't do that,
right.
But it has to have all the customer information where you send the bill to.
Yeah, so that's why it would make sense just to have an address here.
Right. Because you've got to get into if you decide to make the address the key, then you've got this problem that the billing address and the delivery address may not be the same addresses. So you've got to carry the name of the owner. And then you also get into another problem of who's paying the bills. Is the owner paying the bill, or if this is rented out, is the resident paying the bill? And it starts to get, far more complicated than what I wanted for this particular example.
What I was thinking of is, I've actually lived in houses where it's a two-family house where both things are oil, so now you have two people using
right.
the address.
So you have to have
put
some
a the second floor to
right.
separate it, or a duplex.
Well, like an apartment,
yeah.
you'd have to put an apartment number, so
yeah.
you'd have to have some code as to
yeah.
this half of the house pay,
But wouldn't it, if you use customer ID number and like the customer address, because you're not going to have...
Yeah.
No, there's a whole load of... complexity that you can add to this, which is why I made a rule that a customer could only own one thing and they had to pay for it. Okay, because it really does start to get complicated when you start thinking about how this has to really be set up.
Oh yeah, my customers only have one option.
Okay, so we have this, and then we have the customer ID links back over to the customer ID there, and so we have a foreign key here. Okay, take a minute and look at the second one and try to lay out what you need for tables on that second one. Come on, you can do this. Thank you. So go down to the second one and lay out the tables that you need for this one. Feel free to talk about it with people sitting near you if you want to, but try to come up with what tables you're going to need. That's what I come up with at least.
Three?
Yep.
I don't think
feel like I'm thinking more about like thinking about like these cells instead of like a table. But like
What is the relationship here? There's one to one relationships, one to many and many to many. Which one does this fall into?
Many to many.
Which one does it fall into? And we're looking to get somebody else answering too.
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're setting up tables, you can have a one-to-one relationship, which isn't very often. A one-to-many relationship, which is probably the most frequent, and a many-to-many relationship. And the many-to-many one that I illustrated was the actors and the movies. So which one is this?
Boy.
No, but which is this? Is this a one-to-many relationship or a many-to-many relationship?
Many-to-many.
Yes.
Yeah, because multiple people can be working on a project.
That's right. And a person can be working on multiple projects. So a person can be working on multiple projects, and a project can have multiple people working on it. So you need to have a many-to-many relationship going on. So I'm going to leave it soft for a few more minutes, and then I'll do the answer. Or a answer.
Table just for like logs of like hours to make its own table.
Yeah.
And then the other two would just be
one's the employee, one's the project.
The project and then,
You have something that kind of bridges between them, which they frequently call a bridge table. That has the record, basically if you filled out a timesheet, you would have the information from the timesheet.
Right.
As to what project you spent what the number of hours on.
Yeah. Originally I was thinking like, I've got a salary table, like a manager table, like a table for like...
I'd put all that on the employee table.
Right,
you can,
yeah,
as like, I said, you can have two employee tables where you have one general available, one, you know, as in what's the general stuff is, what's their extension, what's their email, what's all that.
Right.
But you may want to keep confidential salary. I wouldn't, I'd just keep all
well,
of one in this one.
Well, a company could also have like a salary table where they have like tiers on one, right?
Yeah.
Where they have like...
If that's the way they do salary.
Yeah. And then that way you can just kind of overarch and everyone will have their salary code.
But I'm saying for this one, just keep all of the employee information in one table. So I would have that as an employee table. And the primary key would be the employee number, right? So that's my employee. I can make something more complicated if I want to, but I didn't even give you anything like what's their extension, what's their office, what's their, or anything like that. Okay, so I don't really have those. So that would be my employee table. Then I'm going to have my project table. Now, I like heavy numbers, so I would probably make a project ID that I would make my primary key, mainly because I can't spell, so I assume other people can't spell, and if you start using project name, then you get into people that abbreviate, people that can't spell. And so I tend to like numbers, but anyway. So then I'm going to have the name of the project. And then I'm going to have the manager of the project. And this indeed might be a number again, because that may reference into an employee table that would give you all the information about that person. So this may be a number as well that would then reference into an employee table, which we don't have to do here, but I would have an employee table so that I could pick up the information about that person that was the manager. Okay, because obviously if they're a manager, they're also an employee. No. Although, as I said, I think I'd put a number in there as opposed to putting a name in there, but you can do either one. So I was just thinking in the future. Okay, so now I'm going to have a bridge table, as what they call it frequently is a bridge table. The bridges between the employee and the project. And you can give it any name you want to give it, employee project table or something on that. Employee project or something on that. But that's the name. Okay, so now what's going to be on that?
We have the project ID.
Okay.
And the employee.
Right. And whichever one you want to put first, I don't know why, those are going to be the employee number and the project. I guess I will write it over here, so I'll write it here. So employee number and the project ID. Okay, what else are you going to have?
The hours.
The hours that they work.
The individual spend.
And what else do you need to have?
The start time?
Yeah, or some kind of a date thing. You need to have some kind of a date that they worked on it. Otherwise, if you get into that employee number, project number, and then just hours worked, how do you differentiate between the hours they worked on Monday and the hours they worked on Tuesday? So think of this kind of as a time sheet that if you had to fill it out. You have your employee number on it. Then you would have to account for each of the 5 days of the week and what projects you worked on and what hours you worked on them. Especially if the company is doing external billing. This tends to be a lot used by companies that are billing clients or keeping track of, they have a budget for a project and keeping track of the hours worked on the project.
Makes me laugh because my company's time sheet's actually 0.6. It's 6 minute intervals every week.
Every job
you do has a different job. But my time sheet at the end of the day probably has 40.
Get a life. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
I mean, usually it's in maybe 15-minute increments.
It's point because they figured it out because it's government. The government wants to write down every key. they figured out that roughly it takes you 6 minutes to do whatever it is you're doing that particular month. So they're telling you to go pull on a project to pull 50 parts. The actually way you do it, technically you can get away with it. I don't do it, but you can actually just take the 50 parts, times it by 0.6, and it's divided by 60 minutes. Here's your hours that you did with a part. Obviously, but it ends up being wrong because there's no way you're going to spend 6 hours doing one job. It ends up being like 4 hours. So I'm not going to take 6 hours for it. So I just keep track of what time I started, what time I ended, and that's what I put in. But I'm not kidding. Yeah, it's 0.6 minutes for every job.
My government will work with me. No, my brother works for General Electric, and he designs controls for military planes. And when he tells me someone's, he has to keep track very carefully of everything that he does, because,
That one electrical panel probably has like 6 sub-assemblies that go into it. Because, right. I mean, it's like saying we do a lot of ocean vehicles, so it's like Navy trainers. But you got a unit that's this big, but it has 120 sub-assemblies. So now you have a sub-assembly that has 6 in it, so you got 6 different sub-assemblies for that. It may be all the same charge number, but I mean, it just adds up over time.
So how much time do you put in at the bottom is how much time you spend filling out the time sheet?
We actually joke at work saying, is there a charge number for doing your time sheet? Because some days you're in there for like, 25 minutes trying to figure out the sheet. I'm one of the smart people who, as soon as I get done with something, I go do it right away. Because if you're the person who writes it on a post-it note, there's a lot of old timers there that write everything on a post-it note. And then at the end of the day, they're there for like 2 hours trying to figure out their time sheet.
Okay, so we need date and we need hours. And as somebody said, you could have start time and end time as opposed to having the date and the hours. You could have start time and end time and have the program figure out how much start time and end time. So that, one of those ways you have to do it, you have to keep track. But if you wanted to put on start time and end time, then that also tells you the hours, but I would include the date. So this would be date and time. Okay, so what is the key on this one? The primary key on this one?
What number of project ID is?
Yes. Because I've got the employee working on the project. Yes. She's checking. Yesterday, I could not write unless I wrote at an angle that went up. And I reset it twice, and I still had to write on an angle that went up. And I was trying to draw flowcharts yesterday and trying to draw that when the pen was, a few inches off where it was actually writing. Yeah. So she just came in to check to make sure it was working. Okay, so I'm going to have a primary key that is made up of those fields, because I have to have this employee worked on this project for this particular date. If I didn't have the date in there, the employee could only work on the project once. Okay, so I've got the date in there, and then the hours, or again, I have the start time, which would be a date. And that can be it. So, now I've got foreign keys. What are the foreign keys on this one? What are the foreign keys that I have? So employee number goes over there, and project ID comes over to here, and those are foreign keys. So what I basically want you to do is set up these tables, and then as you're doing these two setting up tables, I want you to experiment. I put them all up there. I want you to set up all the primary keys. I want you to set up all the foreign keys. And then I want you to do something with the other constraints. You don't have to do a lot with them. But on one of the two, you've got to set up a check and a not null and a unique. So I want you to set those up. And again, you want to set them up before you put data in.
Especially so you want data to
I don't actually care, I don't think. I mean, you can put some data in to check it, but I want to see the layouts of the thing, so.
I'll be lazy to me. I'm sure eventually she's going to have to put data in anyway. I'm sure this is not a one-week assignment.
That pretty much is, actually. I think, well, maybe it isn't. We're actually going to wrap up SQL next week, and then we're going to start PLSQL, which is the programming language that has SQL inside it. But then you get into SQL, as you know, processes everything at once. So you don't have access to individual records as you are working with SQL. PLSQL lets you set up the data in a cursor and have individual access to records. And so that's what we're going to look at. But it's still written, it's SQL within, a lot of it is SQL, but it's within a language structure. So it gets kind of interesting. Okay. We're done. I'm not sure I'm willing to go with most of it, but... You at least I know have done some of it.
Yeah. Well, on one of them it was like you can forget it to run and then I just